Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where some bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time and talk about them. That's slightly different. My name is Luke Condor with Kate, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
And also our sort of semi-regular bonus co-host, Mr.
Andy Conjure at Turner. Hello, guys.
Hello, hello.
Oh.
So,
hi there.
We've done the top 50. We've done the quiz about them, which I don't know who won. Doesn't matter. And now we're just sort of gonna kind of wing it for a bit, I think. And then we're gonna do one that popped out of the cinema recently. We're gonna do the old The Predator, but before all that, has anyone done a guff? Got any guffs they want to talk about?
I haven't. Do you know what? I haven't watched all that much this week. I did watch Predators in preparation. I was going to go back and watch.
Yeah.
Well, I watched Predator and Predator 2 like probably in the last 6 months. So I thought
you went to the cinema to Predator, right?
I did. Yeah. So I'm not sure when that was, but I went to see it was the 30th anniversary. Yeah. In the cinema. So yeah, that obviously that lingers in the mind constantly. So I thought I'd watch Predators, which I don't think I've seen more than once. So you know, it's all right. All right.
I can't remember. Yeah, can't remember it at all. I remember Adrian Brody
Morpheus and
Topher.
I mean, it's a pretty good cast. It's a fairly like interesting premise, and it's executed fairly well. But it's one of those that definitely draws a little bit too much from the original, almost in ways where you're like, "Well, is that really? Yeah, is it needed?" But the fact that it takes place on like an alien planet is a nice, cool little thing. And Adrian Brody is an action star. You wouldn't necessarily always think that, but he's solid. He does pretty well at it.
Yeah, nice.
So yeah, it's worth a watch. I mean, it's better than like the Alien versus Predator stuff.
You'll have to tell us how it holds up to this one, because this definitely doesn't do the same thing as the first one.
No, it's weird. It's almost like, I mean, it's really difficult to compare them, even though they're members of exactly the same franchise, because the tone is just like so different. I mean, Predators goes for the tone of the original. Do you know what I mean? It gives you a group of like ragtag characters who are all sort of like quote-unquote bad guys or badasses, and there's a bit of a war in Predator faction thing, which I guess is the only thing that kind of relates to this one in a way. Predator dogs are in it as well, with like big old horns. Well, not Predator dogs, they're just alien dogs. Have you seen it, Andy? Have you seen Predators?
Yeah, Predators I saw at the cinema. I think I'd only seen it the once though, but I seem to remember it was fine. It was
serviceable.
Yeah, I saw it at the cinema, and I do own it on Blu-ray, but when I went to watch it, I hadn't even unwrapped it, so it was just one of those, obviously, just went, oh, a bit of that.
Yeah, it's on that, three for a tenner down at HMV.
Yeah, exactly. So I saw that, and I also watched, not horror, but kind of horrific, I watched Skyscraper last night with The Rock. Have either of you two seen that?
Yeah, we went and saw that. It's ludicrous.
See, I thought about going to see that in the cinema, and I'm glad I didn't, because I found it really, it didn't really keep my attention for very long at all. It was kind of like, it tries to be, it's The Rock in his I'm a good dad action hero role, which he's kind of adopted lately. You know, it's watchable, but I've pretty much, it's vanished from my brain ever since. probably about 12 hours later.
I haven't watched that, but I've been watching a lot of videos of The Rock saying, if you smell what The Rock is cooking. I was trying to find a really good example of how it is in my head, how he used to do it. But it's, he very rarely...
He used to really extend it, yeah.
But The Rock, and then I was trying to get a really good one where he gets the eyebrow perfectly and drops the glasses. But he doesn't seem to do it. He just seems to be rushing through it every time.
There's a great video where it's just like him inhaling over and over again while he's cutting a promo. which I found fairly entertaining. I watched it for at least the whole 2 minute video.
Oh, that was like, what is it, like 15 hours or something? 24 hours of it. It's like a ridiculously long video.
Is there a 24 hour version?
Taking breaths.
I haven't seen that, but maybe, you know, maybe I'll put it on tonight and fall asleep to it. You know?
Get a super cut going.
Yeah. ASMR. ASMR just rocks. Yeah, he's got like in Skyscraper, he's got like a prosthetic leg. Which is used in a variety of different ways.
It's just for those scenes, isn't it? It's like, okay, we're going to need him to swing on something, to stop a door with something, to give someone a club in with something.
Yeah. What can he have? I mean, he can't carry... And there's also a bit, I don't want to, you know, I'm going to say spoilers, but, you know, it doesn't fucking matter. There's also a bit where he brandishes a sword for, like, a whole action sequence.
Where does the sword come from? His leg? Or does he...
He whittles it down.
It doesn't come for his leg, but that is a much better idea. I think the sword is just like on display in some office or something, isn't it?
Like a rich man's skyscraper.
If he just like stamped his foot and it came out of his prosthetic leg, that'd been 10 times better than what it was.
Yeah. What about you, Andy? You seen anything?
I've been doing, as you guys know, a ton of DIY this week, so not watching so much, but I've been doing a little bit of listening. So I had lots of podcasts on while I was doing a load of painting this week. So I caught up on some old episodes of a certain other stories podcast, delving into the archives there.
Yeah.
And then I did similar with the old No Sleep ones as well.
They're long, aren't they? Like an hour and a half long.
Yeah, I think before they went into like premium episodes, the first couple of seasons where it's like hour and a half long episodes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but it certainly passed a bit of time. Stories, they're a subjective thing, aren't they? But there were some good ones that I had a good listen to. But not much time to watch stuff this week. But again, we're edging closer to... But the weather's getting bad now, so more excuse to stay in and watch movies.
Yeah. I didn't see anything really this week. I watched The Lady Vanishes, which is like the 1930s Hitchcock film. But I watched it it's on Amazon Prime at the minute. And I've watched it in three sittings because I kept putting it on about 10 o'clock and then... drifting off like, so quickly. Yeah,
drifting off to Betty Buys.
Yeah, but it was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't horror Hitchcock, it was like a comedy, a British comedy before he went to America to make his big stuff over there. But I think it's cool, I think it's worth it. If you're a Hitchcock fan or you want to sort of watch more of his older stuff, it's definitely worth a go.
So we've got a thriller coming up this week. I think we're off on Tuesday. There's a screening of that. Is it called A Simple Favour? Blake Lively is like it looks a bit Girl on the Trainee. Someone goes missing and there's someone may or may not be a murderer. Probably means they are.
It's said by the makers of Bridesmaids, isn't it?
It's Paul Feig, but it is like a thriller. It's not like a comedy. It looks and Anna Kendrick's in it as well, but it looks. Yeah. There might be some tense moments. Going to see that next week.
Yeah. Also, I really want to watch that Mandy that's come out, but it seems to be on, you know, the Nicolas Cage crazy visual. I don't know what the director's called. But I can't see it in any cinema in the UK. It doesn't seem to be out anywhere. So I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, because I've heard it's got quite good reviews so far.
Yeah, it's hitting the 90s, I think, on Rotten Tomatoes.
Smashing the 90s at the park.
Yeah.
Very nice. And Nicolas Cage, it seems like every film Nicolas Cage is in these days, it is always like, Nicolas Cage's most insane performance. But it's
you got to keep escalating.
I think they've used his Rage Cage. Did you see the trailer for this, Andy? Did you, Ben?
I think so, yeah.
It looks insane, like absolutely insane. Yeah.
Is that proper 8? It's set in the 8, isn't it?
It sounds from the soundtrack. So let's crack on with the main guff. The Predator. Do you tell us a little bit about what it's about, Ben?
The Predator. Okay. The Predator is a 2018 American science fiction action film directed by Shane Black and written by Shane Black and Fred Decker. It's a Black and Decker film. It's almost like this stuff writes itself. Well, not the film, obviously. They wrote it. So, from the outer reaches of space, this is quite a long blurb here. From the outer reaches of space to the small town streets of suburbia, the hunt comes home. Now the universe's most lethal hunters are stronger, smarter, and deadlier than ever before, having genetically upgraded themselves with DNA from other species. When a young boy accidentally triggers their return to Earth, only a ragtag crew of ex-soldiers and a disgruntled science teacher. Disgruntled? Is that the best word to describe her?
Is she a science teacher?
Prevent the end of the human race. I wouldn't say she's disgruntled.
Yeah.
A better word to describe her is that she's got a backpack. She's always got a backpack on in this film.
Try saying the hunt comes home over and over again.
The hunt comes home. You're trying to make me say.
I thought you might say it. Yeah, I thought you might. So it's 34% on Rotten Tomatoes, 6.2 on IMDb. So obviously not like done amazingly well, but I mean it's still The Predator. It still seems to be hitting the box office numbers, I think. What are your initial thoughts on it?
It's been a few years since Predators, hasn't it? So, you know, I think when there's a significant amount of years between the installments of a franchise that is, you know, rebooted, or is it even linked? You know, it's a bit
tenuous, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite tenuous. So, yeah, it's been 8 years. So I think, yeah, it'll still drag in the people. Dragging the crew. This was a very, very weird one. I think we're all probably in the same sort of boat here. For this to be appearing on the Horror Hangout podcast is probably a little bit nuts. Because what horror elements are there, really?
Yeah, it's like an action comedy, isn't it? I don't think it was tense. Maybe a little bit at one point, but it wasn't. There was no tension like throughout most of the film, I don't think.
No,
I can't think of any tense moments.
I mean, I've seen a few reviews and read a few reviews where they say basically it's a Predator film, but with like Marvel levels of humor. But obviously, Marvel's humor is family friendly, whereas this they've gone, let's do the Marvel humor, but let's obviously make it a little bit more R-rated, which I guess is what they've done. There are so many quips in this film, it is almost hard to keep up with. Sometimes, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, one quip too many. It was almost like
I think like halfway through, the jokes just like stopped working. It's almost like they sort of nailed the first 30 minutes or so. I was like in it. I was like, this is cool. This is fun. Let's see what the big complaints are. And then it suddenly the jokes stopped landing so much. Like the editing got choppier and choppier. And I was like, wait, wasn't that guy? Where did that get the helicopter from?
I think it suffered, and I think there were substantial reshoots as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
So I think, especially the final third of the film, was very sort of disjointed and strange. Yeah. And I think it definitely gets to a point where this group of characters work really, really well together. And there is a certain point and a certain scene where they're all bouncing off each other. And I was like, I'm having a whale of a time watching this.
Yeah.
But then it does kind of deteriorate quite fast. And there were certain people who like died off screen. And I was like, is that person now?
The one guy, I'm still not completely sure.
No, what happened to him?
Yeah.
I mean, exactly the same.
There's one point about half an hour in when I was like, okay, I'm into it. It's sort of jokey. It's balancing it quite well. But then there was one joke, and I was like, I kind of liked it, but I don't know. It felt a bit wrong.
It's like quip, 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 and then another quip where you're a bit like, oh, was that quip needed? And then sometimes it lingers a little bit too much on a certain joke or a certain angle.
Yeah.
And I just felt a little bit like awkward, you know, like when you're with your dad at the pub and he's having a joke with someone and then he takes it too far, you know, says something a little bit dodgy and you're like, oh, dad, everyone was having a good time. And then,
yeah.
Oh, shut up. Everyone's having a good time and now you've made it awkward.
Yeah.
I sort of struggled as we were watching it, knowing that we were going to be talking about it today. And, you know, sometimes I might make a smart ass comment or like a little observation. I'm like, how are we going to have anything to say? Because literally the characters in this film are doing this for us. Because it's like super aware, like particularly with the name of the alien being the Predator, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that sort of joke, well, you say joke, but that sort of observation gets sort of smashed. It's like nails on the head.
About, It comes up like about three times, doesn't it? And then some people who were in the previous conversation, they go, yeah, I said that earlier.
Yeah. It's almost like there's self-awareness in a film. I feel there's a film being self-aware, and there's a film being almost too self-aware to the point where then it becomes parody. And then it's like, if you're parodied, then you can't take the actual content of the film seriously.
And I think almost of yourself, like Will I
parody
am.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Oh no. I think everything that kind of made Predator work for me was kind of absent from this film. You still get like little snippets of the creature and all these different things, but the personality traits of the creature and the creature's code of ethics and all these things. I mean, throughout the franchise, they've always been very inconsistent. But I think here they were just like, I was like, what is the point really? Because the Predator, as point. You know what I mean? It does certain things in the films, and it wasn't doing hardly any of that. And I think I don't know how you guys feel about this as well, but I think some of the CGI felt like it was 10 years old.
Well, it's like, again, so about halfway through, it suddenly dipped, and there was one bit where the big one's in the top of it in the trees, and they sort of flash a light on it, and I was like, whew. And that bit we talked about last week, the Unreal Tournament gore bit, stuff like that just looks like, doesn't look current at all.
No, it looked a bit. With that bit when they flash up and he's in the trees, I was a bit like, oh, looks like Scorpion King. Just like sort of angry.
The Scorpion
down.
King.
PS2 graphics, half man, half scorpion coming down. Yeah. I was like, yeah, what's going on? So, I mean, but there were some good things. I think there were certain members of this cast. I mean, it's a very established sort of... It's a very good cast, I think. And again, they bounce off each other really well. There's a nice balance. I think the lead is kind of a bit of a throwaway sort of... You know, there's a few guys who look the same as him, aren't they? I didn't even realize which one he was. It was like
Boyd Holbrook. I'm not too sure what else he's in. And his name as well, Quinn McKenna. It's like actually a movie name.
Yeah. I think he's in Logan. Is he not? Have I got that mixed up with somebody else?
Oh, is he he's like one of the, like the mercenaries, right?
With the robot arms.
So it's him, and then there's Charlie Hunman, is that the other one? And then Joel. There's a few where I'm just like sort of got a little bit of a beard and a little mess of blondie hair, and they all kind of look the same. And a badass attitude, and they're a bit southern.
Yeah,
they're not. Just it all felt the same. I think the people who come across the best in this film, I thought Olivia Munn was fantastic. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen her in any film where I thought she's really good.
Yeah.
This time I was like, she's kicking ass. Thought she was great. I think, I mean, I really love Sterling K. Brown, but I feel like he was very one dimensional. They didn't really give him much going on.
I don't know if I like him being humorous. I don't
know.
I don't know if it's the way he's telling you. I like him when he's serious and he's just like sort of malevolent, sort of dark force. But in this is way too. But Thomas Jane, I thought was great.
I was about to say, Tom Jane, I have a lot of time for. I really kind of love that Punisher movie. But, I like most things that Thomas Jane is in.
Yeah,
Tom Jane, I think Keegan-Michael Key was a good sort of... They kind of like... It's weird because this group, there's loads of them, but they sort of split off into little double acts, which I quite liked.
Yeah. So you get Thomas Jane Black as well to do the buddy comedy thing. Yeah.
And I think Trevante Rhodes, obviously, who's in Moonlight and obviously I haven't seen him in too much. I thought he was great as well. He was a great sort of character. A few of them were a bit forgettable. Like, I think Alfie Allen's in it as well.
So what did you make of Alfie Allen?
Was there enough of him in it to really...
Enjoying his Irish accent?
Oh, yeah, he was doing an Irish accent. I didn't realise he was doing an Irish accent until somebody called him Lucky Charms. I was like...
Someone referred to him being Irish. I was like, oh, that's the accent you're doing.
Yeah.
I just thought you were an insane man.
The other guy, Augusto Aguilera, I don't know if he's into Christina, plays Nettles, like a religious guy. What, is he from anything? I thought he was all right. He had a couple of excellent moments.
Yeah, he was quite good. I don't really know if he's in anything else. He's got the kind of face where I feel like I've maybe seen him in some TV show or something.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I might have to do a little double check on that. But yeah, apart from that, I mean, Jake Busey was in it as well.
Jake Busey. Isn't he playing? Because Gary Busey's in Predator 2, right? Is he?
Yeah.
Does he have the same last? Is he meant to be there? He's meant to be his son in the film as well as in real life.
I think it's related. True? Yeah. I'm sure he's got the same surname.
I mean, that's fantastic if that's the case. Because I'm assuming these films go like Predator and Predator 2 are canon. Predators, it must be canon because it's on another planet, so it doesn't really matter. It doesn't affect too many things.
I assume that three of them must have been, because they sort of say, and I haven't looked it up, but don't they say, like, in the lab bit, they say, oh, they came here in 87,
97, yeah.
And then 2000.
And he said they definitely didn't come here during AVP. So no. They definitely didn't come here then.
in terms of the alien sort of time frame, and that doesn't make sense, because now we're meant to believe, after Alien Covenant, that the xenomorphs were created by David, like, hundreds of years in the future. Michael Fassbender's
that's a good point.
Android,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
So they can't have existed in, like, 2005 or whatever. So it must just be, like, I don't know who's ticking this off and saying, yeah, that's canon, yeah, that's not canon. Yeah. I don't know who's in charge
Kevin
of this.
Feige. They need Kevin Feige in charge. It was also Jacob Tremblay, plays the little kid with autism. I don't know if he came across very autistic, especially towards the end.
No, he sort of has a massive change, doesn't he? Because at the beginning, and, you know, no expert on autism, but at first it seems like he's playing those character traits, but then the last third of the movie is quite a badass. Like, he says, I can use reverse psychology too. How about you don't go and fuck yourself?
Yeah.
And I was like,
you're
a sassy motherfucker. How are you? Like, like, basically, your autism is now played out as earache. Is because don't like loud. You've got tinnitus, mate. Like, people have misdiagnosed you quite severely.
I had plenty of ear infections when I was a kid, and no one said I was autistic.
Did you learn predator language?
I did,
like that,
pretty quickly. Yeah,
yeah.
That's a weird thing. I liked the music. Kind of links back to the original score and the first Predator film. Yeah. I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
But then it did this thing where the text of the predator language came up in a, which that's not how text works. Like, in any way, you can't, this isn't like type it up. We're not using typewriters to type the language. And then it's like it translates them to predator language. I don't know how I felt about it. It's a bit cheesy.
I kind of didn't like them translating predator language at all.
Yeah.
Did we need it? I mean, they could have just not
spoke. I didn't mind it when the predator spoke and then they had a computer that translated it for their benefit. But when we're just watching it as an audience and it's not for the characters in the film.
Yeah.
I think you can probably credit your audience with enough intelligence to understand that this is a bad predator that's chasing the other one that's landed. You don't need to translate his language saying, I'm hunting the traitor. Like, I don't think it was necessary. And I think it takes away from the creature a little bit. I think we talked about it in the Thing episode, how I think sometimes you get an iconic creature like this. And then in some cases, if you don't tread very carefully, when you extend it and examine it and then build it up more, sometimes you can spoil what made it good in the first place.
Yeah, it's almost like the mystery, that level of mystery that's like, oh my god, what the hell's that in the trees? What does it want? What's it doing? That level of mystery that obviously you get when you with the first Predator movie is completely, like, it's gone in this case, and almost like in, especially in Alien versus Predator, again, I know we're not taking that too seriously, but when the Predator sort of like allies itself with a human character, it's almost like, I know it's good to give a more well-rounded look at a character like that, but with a creature like the Predator, especially in this particular film, it just feels like it's not needed as much. And did you not think as soon as the normal-sized Predator was gone and the large Predator was kind of like the main Predator in the film,
I felt like it
suffered after that. It felt like a different sort of threat. It almost felt like a different sort of creature. Like an 11-foot tall.
Yeah,
and is that what they're going forward with now? Is like, are we to assume that in any film that follows on from this one, predators will all be 11-foot tall, therefore meaning they'll all be big CGI monsters because you can never put an actor in a suit anymore?
Yeah, that just doesn't really make sense, does it? And I mean, it kind of takes away from what made the Predator cool, I think. Personally, anyway. It looks like kind of a guy. But then you're like, whoa, he's got loads of shit going on.
But then he also has got like an exoskeleton like under his skin. Like, I'm not a fan of when you Pokemonify like an alien.
He's evolved.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't like the like level 2 version of it. Just like the original was so bad. And like when you're saying about the mystery, I know some people don't like Predator 2, but I grew up watching Predator 2 over and over. And I remember like the bit where the Predator hurts himself. And he gets like, he gets his gadgets and he's sort of melting crystals and stuff. And you're like, what the fuck is that? And he's like, he's not saying anything. He's just sort of, everything about him is so alien to sort of our own experiences. And that was creepy. That was cool. But this is like, they're reduced to the bad guys from a Marvel film, like the alien Chitauri.
And you can have thousands of them now. And yeah. You just reminded me with that. He's got an exoskeleton under his skin, says the scientist character. Do you mean like a regular skeleton? Like an exoskeleton underneath your skin?
One of those there, then. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Should we crack on with the plot a little bit? So we've got like a bit of a prologue. It's a predator ship being chased by another predator ship, and they sort of do that thing where they split space and time and sort of fly through. And then we're introduced to our main dude, Quinn McKenna.
Quinn McKenna. I mean, that's four N's in his name. That's a lot, isn't it?
It is a lot of N's, yeah.
Quinn McKenna.
Yeah. So he's on some sort of mission. I don't know what he's doing. He's in South America.
He's a really undisciplined sniper man, isn't he? Because he's with a team, and then he just goes, fuck it, I'm not waiting, and shoots that guy.
Yeah, and later on we're supposed to believe that he's like an incredible soldier. But he goes AWOL as well after this.
Yeah.
He's just like, is he in Mexico? And it's like, he's monitoring a cartel, and he's going to kill
it. Something about a cartel. It's always a cartel, isn't it? And then he shoots a guy.
Yeah,
shoots guy in the head
at a hostage exchange.
Yeah, and then the alien ship comes over. There's at no point does he seem, which is I think the big problem with this film. At no point does he seem scared of the predator. He's just like the ship flies over, crashes near him, and he just
immediately goes and has a dig around in it, doesn't he?
Nice little alien ship here. At no point he's really like, what am I looking at? Like, this is terrifying. This is proof of life. He's just like
it's got a cool helmet. That's nice, that is.
Admittedly, he taxes it, doesn't he? He's like, right, I'll have that away.
Yeah.
Wax it in his bag. Puts the gauntlet on.
And then we also have him a little bit after this, using the stealth technology, which again, I don't like. I just don't feel like we should be able to use that technology.
Yeah, I always thought that was, again, the same, and I'm going back to the original. That was part of the suit, right? And they pressed the buttons and it was like their armor that did it. But now, it's just a little ping pong ball, and if you're holding it, you can be invisible, right?
Yeah.
At the same time, though, despite the fact that I wasn't entirely amazed by that, but this is something we've never seen before in any of the Predator films, is it? Anybody?
Them using their tech.
Their tech. So I thought it was kind of like, if I could take anything away from this film, I was like, that was kind of a cool little, nice new little quirk, possibly. It would have been nice, perhaps, if he turned invisible accidentally, for example.
Yeah.
I like the quirks, but then the quirks just keep coming. <It's> like, non-stop quirks.
I've had enough of the quirks, man.
so he has a bit of a fight with the predator. I don't think he does too much. I think he accidentally shoots it.
Shoots it with his own gun, right? Because he fires the little disc at it, and it chops the predator, and then slices his mate, who's already been kebabbed and is hanging upside down.
Oh yeah, and the guts slide out like.
Yeah, and they make him not invisible by covering him in.
That was quite cool.
Paint, yeah.
So he goes AWOL at this point. He takes the helmet and the gauntlet away, and at the same time, we're introduced to Traeger, who's Mr. Government official. FBI. What? Who does he work for? He just works for the army.
Oh, he works for the super top secret project about looking for aliens, which has got a very top secret name, so you don't know it's about looking for aliens. Called Stargazer.
Project Operation Stargazer.
It's like Operation Looking at the Floor, not for aliens. Yeah. Operation Business as Usual.
Yeah. So he arrives, and then we get the impression that he knows about the Predator. He's like, someone knows about him, or the helmet's missing, or something. And then McKenna goes to a pub in Mexico.
This is brilliant. He just goes to the pub, doesn't he? And then says, all right, mate, I've got a gun. You post this for me. And he's like, why should I do anything for a man with a gun? And he shows that he can go invisible and have a gun. Yeah. And says, right, I'm invisible and I've still got a gun. So you post this for me, mate. I'll pay you. And he's like, fair enough.
Why not just go to the post office where I set a job to do it? And you just go, you have to threaten them. You have to use alien technology in front of them to ship this.
Okay, that's my job. Sure.
I will pay you to ship this.
All right. Otherwise, you're relying on invisible, mate.
The owner of the bar has got to go to a post office.
Well, he has to not even. He says, don't post the backpack, just the stuff in it. So he's got to go to whatever Mexico has instead of staples,
yeah.
get some packing materials, because he boxes it, he tapes it, he puts some bubble wrap in there.
He doesn't automatically steal
this alien technology that a man who's just been arrested gives him, that he can just do whatever he wants with now, because no one knows he's got it.
Because we hear the sirens, or the helicopter, Mikana gets arrested there, right? So why doesn't the guys go, oh, he's dealt with.
I'll just sell it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's mine, or I'll just sell it. He went invisible just then. Great.
The new Mexican Predator Bar. Come and see a real life alien technology.
Just see the drinks serving themselves.
Yeah.
And he keeps
the invisible, doesn't he? He swallows it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He swallows the... It'd be funny. Like, what if he swallowed it and it had made him invisible?
Set it off.
At some point, he'll go to the toilet and then he won't be invisible anymore. People will be able to see.
And he does do that later.
But I'm never sure how much time is meant to have passed.
Yeah. Also, how could you wipe your. If you did go invisible, how would you know when you were done with the wiping part of the toilet trip? You just wouldn't know.
Well, so is your all of your fecal matter invisible as well? Is that how far it works?
Maybe not, I don't know.
Who knows?
This is what they need to explore properly in the next sequel. I mean, what else? What other mysteries are there left to unlock?
Yeah.
When the Predator shits, is that shit invisible?
What colour is it? Blood's luminous green.
Yeah, blue.
Yeah. Okay, so I had blue poo once when I had too much shit, but...
Is this true?
It's true. I was surprised. And then it worried me for a second until I remembered the sherbet.
How old were you?
14 or something?
28.
What face did you make when you were surprised?
Well, I remember flushing and looking down and going, huh. Interesting.
Are you sure you hadn't just got a new, a fresh toilet duck in at the time so the water was blue on its own?
I don't think toilet duck. Maybe it was, but not as prominent in toilets back then.
Not in the Condor household. No one had time for toilet duck.
No.
Bloody millennials.
Bloody millennials will eat sherbet, and then that'll clean a toilet, I'll tell you that.
I bet it is. I bet it's got some, sparkling sort of cleaning qualities. Okay, so at the same time, he disappears now, Mikana, and we go to Operation Stargazer, and I think we're introduced to Casey Brackett, an evolutionary biologist / science teacher, which she just gets roped in. They just say...
Yeah, the guy just nips over to her at university and doesn't then said, oh, we'll look after your dog. Is that meant to be the code? It's like, I hear you've always had an interest in stargazing. She goes, okay, what are we talking about? She's immediately on board. Yeah, she nips off to the helicopter. She's off.
Yeah, I mean, they seem like they've got a lot of, scientific people in place at this point. You'd think they'd be prepared for this considering it's their job, but no, they've randomly just enlisted the help of some woman that they've got on the books for some reason.
Yeah, based on the fact that she talks about this with Gary Busey's kid? She talks to Jake Busey about she sent a letter to the president when she was six.
Space animals or something, and said,
oh, if you ever see a space animal, then give us a buzz. Yeah. And then later she became a biologist, and apparently they just cross-referenced the two and thought, well, I guess no one changed their mind about what they want to do after this.
That strikes me as how the current US government works. Possibly not the US government in the Predator, but maybe it does. Maybe it's on board like that.
Yeah.
It's all linked.
So she's taken to the lab. She gets squirted alcohol gel or something, I don't know. She has to put her hands up to get decontaminated to go in. She sees all the Predator technology, the old masks, I think from 1 and 2, I believe. Wait, how does that work? Because wasn't in Predator 2, doesn't he die on the ship?
Maybe just...
Well, they take him off, don't they? Yeah, because all the others turn up.
Maybe just a couple of old masks, maybe not the one from 1 and 2, maybe just two versions they found before. Who knows? Who knows, mate?
They're all from AVP.
Yeah. and it's like a spear thing. I don't recognize that from anything. And then she's looking around, and then they're like, this Predator, there's a one asleep, napping on the desk. The snooze alarm isn't set off for another 10 minutes, so they're good to go. And then it's like, they say that they took the blood and it's mixed with human DNA, or there's human blood in him, or something like that.
And then they basically say, so what we want to know is who fucked a Predator. And I thought, this is a great possible side plot, finding out who fucked a predator, like Jeremy Kyle.
Jeremy Kyle fucked the predator.
That'd be great, though, wouldn't it? Just finding out that there's some woman somewhere, or man, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Put something on the end of it. Yeah.
Who's just just got some fetish for a heavily dreadlocked predator.
Yeah. In the right light, it would just look like a reggae musician.
And it's set at Halloween as well, isn't it? So it could just be at a Halloween party, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
Some drugs, some sex. That's what happens at Halloween parties.
Yeah. So if the predator's blood is a luminous green and its shit is bright blue, what colour is its ejaculate?
They glow orange.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Sure, all your neons.
Yeah. So also, there's a nice little bit here where she says, that's not what predator is. It hunts for sport. It's a sport hunter. And Traeger says...
Should be called like a bass fisherman. And it's like, but this name's cooler, isn't it? So,
We took a vote. Predator's cooler.
And at this point, I'm still in the film. I'm like, this is cool. This is a...
I'm loving the japes. So, Jape Busey's there. I'm having a great time.
Olivia Munn at one point goes to look at a certain something on the screen, I think, and she says, can I look at this? Because that guy was giving me the hairy eyeball, which I thought was quite a funny little quip as well.
Yeah.
I like that.
So at this point is McKenna. He's in the bus with...
He's on the bus, and I guess there's been a side scene where we've introduced him to all of his bus mates to cut a long story short for the purposes of time. Like, they're all mad for different reasons, right? They're all been like binned off because either they've had some type of disaster or they're unstable people.
Yeah.
So they're all on a bus where they're going to do something to them, and they're taking them to a place we don't know, the bin. Mm. And then they get radioed and said, come and bring them to this lab instead because the science teacher wants to chat with.
I think it's a fine line between like just giving your characters these affectations and quirks and that being sort of interesting and memorable and just being cartoonish. And I think this maybe does go a little bit cartoonish in places. But yeah, I'm still there. I'm still with the film at this point. It's all going well.
It's because like we've got Thomas Jane with Tourette's.
Yeah.
We've got like a religious guy, like who else we got? Is Alfie Allen like an explosives expert or something?
Yeah, he's an explosive expert, and he's Irish. So
Andy's oh my god, there we go.
So they're on the bus, mate.
Keegan plays the funny guy, the comedian of the group.
Which you know, he doesn't annoy me. At one point in this film, I think he was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
What we saw then.
So they take the bus to the Stargazer facility, and at this point the Predator wakes up. Why does it wake up?
I think, does the other one that's chasing him, he rocks up in Earth's atmosphere, doesn't he? I'm not sure whether he wakes up for unconnected reasons or if he wakes up
he's just got a bad feeling. He just goes, oh no, the other Predator's here.
All these things happen at the same time, right? Because then back in the good old US of A somewhere, the little boy has got, because his dad has posted the Predator mask, and we've met the little boy before when he was at the school dealing with those no good bullies.
And his earache.
And and then his dad has posted the stuff back to their house. So the Predator's mask has turned up in the post, and he's immediately opened it up. So I'm not sure like it which order this happens, but is it the kid messing with the Predator's gear that wakes him up?
Yeah.
Or is it the other one turning up? But for some reason, he wakes up and he goes mental.
Well, there he goes proper mental.
There's a pretty good bit where Jacob Tremblay's character is hacking the guy, the big Predator's spaceship, and he's like turning the stealth on and off. I thought that was quite cool. Like, he turns it off when the Predator's like, what the fuck's going on?
And, he's got like his, because at this point, again, I think as we mentioned at the top, the little boy, he nails Predator language and technology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also just pressing your fingers on like keys that aren't there. I can imagine that's going to be well difficult. Autocorrect, getting in. So Predator wakes up and he annihilates pretty much everyone in a really cool fashion. Swipes someone's face off.
This is a good action sequence. Like, he takes out all those people. He doesn't kill them all. Anyone who's got guns, he tends to chop up. But some of the scientists just get a throw in. and Olivia Munn's science teacher's hiding out, isn't she? And then she starts to run off, and this is where I guess the old stuff of the ethics comes in again, right? Because then she has to go through back through the decontamination room.
Yeah.
So she strips off to be decontaminated, and she's just in her pants when he walks in, and because she's not a threat, he just looks at her and sort of buggers off.
This makes me think that if a predator did attack, I would just tuck it in. And hide in little corners and stuff.
Hide in a little corner with just your little... Oh, man. Jesus. Is that that's basically like shitting yourself when a bear attacks.
Yeah. Is that just good, or is that just...
Just try your best not to look like a good trophy for him.
Yeah. So... She's got like a trank gun, and she's chasing the predator now. Again, no one seems that scared of the predator. It seems weird. And as she's chasing the predator over the roof, they see the bus rocks up, and they see the predator there.
And they're like, and they escape, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they do.
They call him Whoopi Goldberg.
You're like, you know Whoopi Goldberg? Yeah, like an alien version of that. Well, that's nice.
Right, that's all I need to know. Let's get it.
So this is the point where something happens here, and I'm like, I'm still sort of into this, but what? I'm not sure if I like that. It's like when someone does something strange during a sexual encounter, pops a finger somewhere. So what? Like, well, and it is a fun.
Well.
It's a bit where the predator sort of he gets in the back of a van or something. He kills these people, and then the driver says, "Everything okay back there?" And the predator uses someone's arm to put a thumbs up by the guy's head. And I was like, what? Would he do that?
Like, that was mental, wasn't it? That was insane. That was
mental, especially as the predator always does that, you know, recording people's voices stuff usually. He's like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone, normally.
Yeah.
You could keep the change, you filthy animal. He's like, geez, I'll try.
I heard three people definitely get murdered in the back. What are you guys doing back there?
Yeah.
Pulls all the racket.
Thumb comes up. I went to watch this to Skip, and when that happened, I heard him go, "What?" Like, he was not too impressed, I don't think. But I was like, I kind of like it. I laughed, but
I laughed.
Want that in a Predator film? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly how I felt. I laughed just because of the gag, not the fact that. And when I thought about it after, I was like, "The Predator do that?"
Yeah, does it even know what thumbs up means?
I guess they've researched humans extensively.
Yeah.
But this is this bit has like two quips back to back, doesn't it? Because at the same time, before the predator gets away, he pops the tires of the bus because the prisoners have overpowered the guards and they're chasing him.
Yeah.
And Olivia Munn's trying to shoot him with the tranquilizer gun. She shoots herself in the foot and falls down.
Yeah.
So then they have to try and make their escape somewhere else because the army guys have turned on Olivia Munn immediately and gone, "Oh, just kill her, I guess."
Yeah.
And
that's when
the crazy gang, they sort of see those load of motorcycles over there, and they sort of go, "Oh, get to the choppers!"
I didn't pick up on that. I was laughing at the bit where Olivia Munn, this is very Shane Black thing to do. What's his name? Quinn is like, "Jump off, I'll catch you," and then something distracts him, and it's just like flops.
She falls off.
Yeah, that's good.
It reminded me of nice guy sort of humor.
I enjoyed that.
So then they drive off. They escape, I think.
They drive away and then go and stay at a motel, I guess, near the hometown? Because it must all be not a huge area, right?
It's in the very small part of America. I don't know where it is.
Where just conveniently the army base was. It's a short drive from wherever they were going, like the loony bin where they were going to put those guys.
Yeah.
And project business as usual. Their big lab is quite near there, a short drive as well. And the canyon where they go later, and the farm, and the town where they all live. So it's quite happy that all this is easy drive.
Yeah.
Handy.
I thought this bit, you know, when Olivia Munn wakes up and they're sort of...
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Putting stuff around to so she wakes up. She's like, I thought this kind of bonding moment between all of them, I actually thought it was pretty good. I mean, this is one of the better parts of the film.
I think this was the best moment where all the characters kind of looked good.
I think this was
the peak, you know. I think from the start of the film it was kind of creeping up towards, and then it was the peak, and then from here it kind of just took a nosedive
after this part. It seems like the scenes aren't quite connected properly, or it's when the predator dogs arrive. I think something around that point. I was like, I'm not sure what's happening.
There's some lunacy that happens after that, and I think whether it's something they just caught in the reshoots or something, I'm not sure. But there's a few bits where maybe they had to cut a scene out, so the dialogue in the scenes that are left sort of try and get a bit of a get out of jail free card to it. Like there's a bit where Olivia Munn's talking to the characters and said, oh, it's like I told you earlier, and then she like very briefly recaps something as if say, he understands it, because they sort of put in, oh, it's like I mentioned off screen earlier on this stuff.
So at this point Rory, the little kid, is wearing the predator mask as a Halloween mask, which is quite a cool little thing. It reminded me of, I think Shane Black even said in an interview, it was meant to be an homage to E.T. when they're walking around at Halloween. But then someone throws a rock at his head, and it the mask reacts, a little bonus gun pops out of the side and just kills the man.
Blows, vaporizes that man and blows up his house and scares those bullies.
It's almost like, is that a gun you really want? Because if you're a predator and you've got that mask on, like, your mates can't even play a prank on you. They can't even go, add your air, boom! Just like, absolutely annihilated. There are no pranks.
It's a subtle thing. You'd be like, oh, chuck us a biscuit, mate.
Chuck us a biscuit, chuck some rich tea, and boom, you're dead.
Also, that gun, that mask looks completely solid. Like, where the hell does that little extra cannon come from?
Exactly. It looks heavy as well, but he's kind of balancing it on his head pretty well. He's got pretty strong neck muscles.
He's got masking tape around the back of his head, and he's sort of like, still
stuck to his hair. Ow!
It was a double-sided tape or something. Super glued it on, pretty sticked.
And then he sort of leaves it, doesn't he? After he's burnt that house, by this point,
he doesn't seem bothered. I just killed that, blew up that house.
Well,
I'm autistic. Yeah. What are you going to do?
And then he runs off. He runs off to the baseball field with the predator gauntlet still on, but he's dropped the mask. And I guess the predator gets that back.
But
that's one thing I remember seeing and thinking, well, they just must have not bothered with that bit, or the editing, or something. I don't know. They lost that bit in the cutting room floor. And the dogs have come, the big predator's arrived at this point, right?
Yeah, he's sent his dogs out, so he's
what do you think about the predator dogs, by the way?
The characters were interacting with them almost like it just wasn't believable. Do you know what I mean? It just looked like they weren't. It looked like they did. I don't think the CGI was the best, but there was just a couple of bits in this where the predator dogs are attacking them, and then one of the characters. What's his name? Gaylord. Remember that dude?
Nebraska.
Nebraska. So he shoots one of them in the head.
Yeah.
But then what happened? But then it's like alive and it's kind of like limping away.
It becomes nice.
It becomes like docile.
But like, particularly, it's not that it just becomes like docile, like he's, because they say you've given it a lobotomy, but effectively, it becomes their mate.
Yeah. And there's another dog, like a real dog, that yeah, at one point is like running towards them. It's like, oh, that's going to be their dog. And then they just close the door and I go, no, we'll forget about that.
Yeah. So it's almost like if they had that dog with... I would have preferred them to have that dog with them rather than the predator dog.
Yeah.
You know, that would have made a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a cameo. Maybe we'll have to... Sorry, Luke, if this spoils trivia, but... Maybe that dog was the mocap for the Predator dogs, and that was his cameo.
Maybe
he got to be in it as a reward.
Yeah. No, it was definitely Andy Serkis. it was that Predator dog.
I mean, dog is taking my work.
One thing I didn't like about the dogs is that they've got the dreadlocks as well. Like, so I don't like this idea of the, again, it's the Pokemonification of the Predator. It should be like a perfect killing machine on its own. Why are they sort of making part dog, part predator things, and
yeah,
I don't know. It doesn't really work for
me. Well, in Predators, they had like different creatures. They weren't like predatory. The dogs, they had
that
these
makes
big
more
sort of
sense to me. I like that way more than half predator, half dog.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. It just looked like a dogator.
Yeah, dogator. Yeah, a border predator. Yeah, a rough predator collie. So at this point.
They sort the dogs out, and then that's when the Predator turns up, holds Alfie Allen prisoner, and he's like, right, put your guns down, lads. And then they trick him, shoot him, and I find that this whole film, bullets seem like inconsistently effective. Sometimes bullets injure things, and other times, like this bit, the bullets just seem to like ping off him.
Also, the sound of the guns just didn't sound right. Like, it is constant, and it sounded a bit weird to me as well. I don't know if it was the same for you. It might have been the cinema I was in.
Pew, 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 pew. Yeah. Sometimes it was just the actors.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
That's why they didn't affect him, when they're just pretending to shoot him to spook him.
Did you ever see Free Fire, the Ben Wheatley film?
Oh yeah, saw that.
The gun noises in that sounded like really like loud, like real guns. But these just didn't. They sound like BB guns or something.
Paintball. Yeah, they don't. They haven't got much like impact to them, really.
Yeah, yeah. This is the point where the big predator,
the big gun turns up. Yeah,
and then pulls the head off the
Gigantor,
our predator.
Yeah,
I felt a bit.
It turns out was a goodie all along.
Yeah, was he there? I don't understand because. What, so he was trying to get them that weapon that we see later on in the film, which is ridiculous. We'll talk about that.
We'll get to that, Jesus.
It just doesn't make sense, because what is the Predator's, like, does it just want to survive? Does it want to get away from the big Predator? Does it want to get back to its ship? Why is it bothering itself?
It sort of describes him as a traitor, doesn't it? But I don't understand, if it had this thing, like, why not just make an effort with these folks that were clearly there when he escaped, and just say, hold up a minute, lads. I got something for you here.
Yeah.
But he gets killed anyway. The other one, he sort of captured our main fellow, hasn't he? And then he wants this computer back, but then the big un turns up, pulls his head off, and the others run away to the countryside.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't seem that bothered about them at first.
No.
Yeah. So at this point, the Loonies Club, whatever they call themselves, they run away to a farm and they hide out there, and then Traeger and his goons turn up, steal the kid.
Because he's drawn a map and said, oh, what's that? He goes up the map, clearly to where the Predator is.
Yeah.
Again, I know this is where the kid's writing has become really inconsistent for me, because he's meant to be autistic, right? But he isn't meant to be unintelligent, where he's sitting there clearly captured, and he's had there's some nice little character scenes with him and his dad, and then he's immediately sitting next to people who are clearly off torturing his dad and his friends, drawing a map that will
it's true.
I mean I
think now it was getting a little bit messy, where I was like, I don't understand anybody's intentions, really.
Yeah.
Or if I do understand their intentions, like, I'm not on board with it. I'm a bit like, the stakes are like, are there even any stakes at this point?
Undercooked at best.
It almost feels like anyone involved could just go home.
Yeah.
They could just go, I've had enough now, I'm just going to go home.
Spout. 10 o'clock. So
it's not like the world. It's not like the world's going to end. The government obviously want these predators. Yeah. The other crew, are they really on the run from the other guys? Like, are they there after the predator? More, the government are after the predator more so than this crew of people.
Yeah.
Why can't anyone involved in this just go, I'm going to fuck off home now.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah.
I've done my hours. This is. I'm not. I don't get overtime. That's
yeah. Great British Bake Off's on in a minute.
The same. Yeah. Like, is all this other stuff like with the? Do they at this point have they revealed like why the predators are coming more frequently? Or does that come a bit later?
It's about around here, isn't it? So they say it's an endangered planet. So we're like endangered species now.
It's like, yeah, because of global warming.
Yeah.
Soon the planet will be too hot for us, so they want to hunt us while they can get us. And then also they like hot planets, so they'll just come and take it.
And they say that autism is the next step of evolution.
Yeah.
Which is interesting take on it, I guess.
Like the X-Men now.
Yeah.
But how do they come to this understanding? Like, I don't even remember. Like, it's just so much.
It's just, what's her name? Olivia Munn, because she's a scientist character. She's a science teacher character. She knows all this kind of stuff. Yeah,
she knows biology. She knows space politics.
But
she knows
still, exactly. But still, it's like making these huge jumps and assumptions based on very little evidence.
Yeah.
Just based, you know what I mean? It's like, you don't know if you're not really predators. They turned up once or twice before, did they? So now you know exactly everything. No, wait, it's a pattern. They turned up once or twice before. So the pattern is this country.
They say they turned up once or twice before, and then they say, but their visits getting more frequently recently. They don't say when.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they'd point out the 80s visits if they were here last week or the week before.
Yeah. Like, they came here in 87, but then 45 times in the last year.
Look at this graph. Like, normal, one, and then almost as if we increased the production of films about these characters. So just spikes all over. There's a crossover here. It intersects with this franchise at this point.
Yeah. So at this point, Traeger takes Jacob Tremblay's character into the ship because he can work the buttons.
He knows how to mash the buttons. Literally, there's two buttons on the front of that ship.
Yeah. And he goes,
I pressed that one, mate, and I don't want to risk pressing the other one.
Yeah.
that one's clearly closed, but this one, it's not on my head.
Yeah.
It's two buttons, fly and land the ship, and he's like, oh, bloody hell, we need an autistic boy to work out. What else going on here?
Yeah, I couldn't possibly.
So they go into the ship, and the loonies turn up.
Yeah, they escape from the army men, and then they turn up, and this is when... they're getting their plan in place to break him out, and your villain guy's like, your dad, he's not a very good army sniper, is he? Because he's tripped these tripwires. Only an amateur would. Oh, unless of course he's. And then it is a trap. He's invisible again, and he comes in. And this is one of the kind of fun kills in the movie as well, right? And the guy's like, oh, you're going to kill me with a tranquilizer dart, aren't you? And he's like, yeah. Shoot you in the eye with it.
And then he goes, no one needs to die. And he says to his son, well, no one else needs to die.
You've just murdered this man in front of me. He goes, no.
I think he's murdered.
Did I? Nah. He's
seven right. people by this point. He's murdering all the time.
He's had more kills in this film than he did in his entire career as a sniper before that.
Also, his son is one to talk because... criticizing his dad for being a murderer. He blew up an entire house.
yeah.
House party going on in there as well.
You vaporized that man. Yeah, you could have equaled your dad's military career like kill count instantly if there's a party in there.
Yeah. So the predator turns up and then he's getting in the ship and he's like, I'll give you a head start. He's talking English now because he's got the computer thing going on.
He's talking English. He's got a northern accent.
Yeah.
Give you an edge stack because you did. Get yourselves into the woods.
It sounds like Liam Gallagher. It's really weird.
And then... right, kid, all right.
That's the thing they've recorded. So...
He came down, he watched the supersonic documentary about Oasis. Yeah. He was like, oh, that's how everyone talks on this planet, is it? Right, okay.
Yeah.
So that's what he says. And then this is the important bit, isn't it? Where he's like, I, the Predator, recognize that only one of you is a proper warrior. And it's this person. And then, importantly, now you might be tricked by this, he says the second name of the character, which is
McKenna.
McKenna. Yeah, it says McKenna. And he goes, okay, so that's definitely me then, the dad, the soldier, and the best warrior. In your face, everyone, it's not me.
Yeah.
And he says, I'll give you a head start. And they sort of that sort of ends the fighting between the two human factions, right? And they all chip off.
Yeah.
They chip off. A few of them got, like, the Predator gun. Like, Sterling K. Brown puts the Predator shoulder-mounted thing on.
Yeah.
That they've obviously just got to hand, I guess.
Yeah, even though they were just going to get the ship, they brought a ton of stuff from the lab just in the van.
I do like that the Predator weapon makes the same firework effect as it did in new films. I thought that was quite handy. It's quite nice.
I like in this bit that as they run into the woods, because Alfie Allen ate shit at this bit as well, didn't he? He was already, as the Predator went and got the ship, he got him. But for the most part, all of your faced characters are still alive and as they run into the woods for like what is a condensed version of Predator 1.
But the
fun part here is that you've got a number of named characters plus several just uniformed guards that are with the baddies team that are like completely just like generic men. Wonder if any of you were gonna make it.
But is this not around about this time that Sterling K. Brown gets like obliterated?
I didn't even see this happen. I saw something explode. I didn't know if it was his head until like reading back in the plot summaries. Because does he like look left or something in the cannon? The shoulder cannon just shoots him in the head.
I think the cannon. I'm not sure if it's something to do with the cannon, but he gets got. Like I didn't catch it in the film. Karen's left us. Oh yeah, he got his head exploded.
Yeah.
I think he blew his own head up using that thing, but it happened so quickly and it is so dark at this point, you know, you can't see what the hell's going on.
And like, did Olivia Munn do this to him? Because I'm sure she said his name, Traeger, and then he looked to her.
Yeah.
So I think she killed him. Like she tricked. I think so. Again, this is the edit. By this point, the film has gone completely batshit insane.
Like literally so many people just get it in a few minutes, because first it starts with that soldier who like thinks he sees them in the trees. He wazzes the Predator's like disc thing off into the sky.
Yeah.
And then
the
guy's like, oh, it's going to come back. You've got to catch it with a glove. And he obviously hasn't read the manual and he gets his hand chopped.
You've got to catch it with the glove.
He's like,
he
just goes, oh, I just dropped down flat, wouldn't you? Just be like, shit. If it was just like a ball, I think I'd still be like, oh, am I going to catch it? I mean, it's pitch black at the moment.
Yeah.
No thanks.
So he gets it and then they go, okay, we'll set a trap. And two of the loonies offer to, to bring them into it. And they both do get got because they sort of sacrifice themselves. Like Thomas Jane jumps onto the Predator while it's on fire to stab it.
That was pretty badass.
Yeah.
There's a weird relationship between those two. Something about Keegan-Michael Key tried to kill Thomas Jane or something. I'm not too sure.
I think it's one of them was mad because of the crash that he caused.
Yeah.
And the other one was the only survivor of that crash.
And then became friends waiting.
Was also mad.
So they got better.
But then there's a weird bit where they're both clearly like on the edge of death and they both just like shoot each other, but from a massive distance away. He's up in the tree and he's all the way down on the floor. There's like probably 50 feet between them, but they still manage to kill each other exactly the same time.
They don't count down. Like how would the if one shot a little bit early?
I bet I would have got shot like first.
Thomas Jane's impaled in a tree and the other guy's like gutted on the floor with all his gubbins hanging out. But because they're best friends, they could be synchronized like that. It's the kind of
in sync like that.
So now we're left, I think, Nettles, Nebraska, Quinn, Olivia Munn and the kid. And the Predator Predator takes Rory and runs away with him, takes the ship.
Yeah, because that's the reveal, isn't it? When it turns out, because Rory's got the same last name as McKinnon, and then he goes, of course, the next step in evolution. He's got him.
Yeah. He's going to use his blood or something. And then, so now they jump on the ship. I don't know.
They literally jump on the back of the ship.
Yeah, it takes off because literally it's parked right there. Literally, the Predator grabs the kid, places his clicker, his ship uncloaks, and he's straight in it. The guys are trying to shoot the engine. Olivia Munn doesn't make the jump onto the ship, but then she whazzes a grenade in the engine to make sure it can't take off that well.
Yeah, yeah. And then the special effects around here, I'm not too sure about the surfing a proto ship sort of idea.
Yeah, yeah. You just literally would fly off, wouldn't you? You try and grab on, and then as soon as it got any sort of speed, you'd be like, ah!
Yeah. There's a bit where I think one of them is holding the other one's leg, and it's like a bit of a, I don't know.
It's a bit slapstick.
Yeah.
Nebraska kind of, so basically a force field comes on as well.
Takes off thingy's legs.
Nettles gets chopped in half.
He gets chopped in half and goes off. Nebraska sacrifices himself, throws himself into the, while shooting it, throws himself into the engine.
He's sort of, because I guess the ship is flying up, so he's running out of oxygen because he's outside the force field.
Yeah.
And then he decides to stop running out of oxygen for a minute, stand up and jump himself into the engine.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, like, you're sacrificing yourself, but on what kind of stakes? Like, just this man that you met yesterday, is kids getting taken away?
Yeah, he's kind of suicidal anyway, isn't he, I guess? But
why not
just let the predator... I mean, for him, why not just let the predator fly off?
Because no one said that the predator's going to be nasty to the little boy. He took him, maybe wants to, maybe this is like a Charlie in the Chocolate Factory situation.
Yeah.
And he's going to, he's got the golden ticket and he's going to take him off to Predator World and say, all this will be yours.
Do we know what the Predator planet is called?
I don't think so. Maybe in comics or novelizations or something.
The species has a name that begins with a Y.
Yeah,
I think.
Yautja, and the planet's called Yautja Prime.
Yautja Prime. Okay. Is that from a game or some Alien vs Predator game or something? I imagine.
I think it's from some comics.
There's a ton of Dark Horse comics that are Predators. Right.
Yeah.
Oh wait, there's a comic called Predator versus Planet of the Apes. Interesting.
What?
Did you ever read Batman vs. Predator? That one was quite good.
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually read the first issue of that this week.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was better than this film, that comic. What happens here? So the kid hacks the system or something.
The kid has got a radio from somewhere and he radios his dad. The dad comes in. He slides down the force field on the inside.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. I thought that was pretty innovative.
Hops in the door, shoots the Predator with... He's got the ineffective bullets at this point, because he shoots him a bit and it just bothers him.
Yeah.
And then he does like a Scorpion from Mortal Kombat. He does like a get over here. He fires like a rope, but he dodges.
Yeah.
But he just gets hung up by it. And then it falls down and he falls out the door, but the ship is crashing at the same time. So he just lands on the floor somewhere in the jungle.
Back near Olivia Munn. The ship went quite far.
Yeah, it's
back here now.
It's the same as, like, also the little boy, that the invisibility thing has been passed around quite a bit. And then as the little boy got taken, it got dropped on the floor in a forest. In a way where you would never, ever find it again. Yeah. I've lost things in my house, which is not a...
You've lost it on the thick carpet. You're like, hang on a minute, where's that gone?
It's been through someone's system. They could smell it out. They could sniff that. Also, the predator dog, we forgot to mention, comes back at this point. He has a fight, but we see... I think he must die off screen or something, because I think we hear a yelp or something.
He's all right. He's standing there at the end. He's fine.
I didn't notice.
He's come back. The predator dog, we'll loop back to him. He has saved the day about four times by coming up with something, because when they're escaping from the farm with the army dudes, he brings a grenade.
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, I brought this grenade. And then they put him in the back of a van.
Yeah.
When they go to run into the forest, and he don't know how he gets out of the van, that must be a deleted scene. But he turns up again with another key piece of equipment. Like, does he give him the spear thing that shoots the predator? Does he have that, the little gauntlet thing, or do they just find it separately? Am I giving him too much credit?
I can't even remember. I think it's got to a point now where it was getting pretty damn messy, wasn't it?
Yeah, they all start shooting him. He's got one arm now.
They have a scrappy shot. Yeah, because the little boy switches the force field back on and has his arm off.
Yeah, because he knows how to use that ship like it's an iPad now.
Literally, he's mastered the language. Maybe that's why the Predator was taken in. They just wanted a human voice to read them audiobooks in Predator language.
Yeah.
But he whacked his arm off. Olivia Munn has got the invisibility. She jumps on his head and shoots him a bit.
Yeah.
Then McKinnon like pushes him off a cliff, and then he's basically armless, legless, like a turd in the wind, as popular film might say.
Yeah.
And then he gives him a badass action hero line that says, "Oh, what was that you were saying, mate?" And then he goes, "Say, gotta shut the fuck up." Shoots him in the face.
You know what? I actually cringed a little bit.
Yeah, I cringed a little bit as well.
Didn't smell
good. Yeah. It didn't smell good at all. It like just didn't land. It just didn't. It was just a bit naff.
I would have cut that out.
He does like a little pause as well, doesn't he? He's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Could have said literally anything else.
Okay, so
was that the end?
The epilogue.
No. Yeah. The true end. Oh, Ben, this is the best part.
If there was ever the term jump in the shower, I know you're talking about Happy Days or something. But this ends this really jumps the shark. I don't understand what they were thinking. This is the most ludicrous thing I think I've ever seen in like 10 years.
what did you think it was going to be?
I went through, in the build up to it, I honestly went through a roller coaster of, oh shit, are they going to redeem this whole thing? Because now there's going to be something exciting. Yeah. As it opened, like first with that guy, because they meet the scientist guy who now employs the little boy. He is the leading expert on cybernetics. And I was like, are you about to cross this over with Terminator? You motherfucker. Like, I thought, is that going to be
I thought
Arnie, and then I thought someone else, and then I was just thinking a million different things. Danny Glover with that old, old musket gun comes out. It's like, shit!
That would have been amazing, yeah.
But that's the thing, because they say, the little boy translates it, oh, it says it's a predator killer. And when I was the same as you, but I thought, it's going to be Arnie.
And then Arnie was like, I've just watched the last clip, I'm not in this.
I thought Xenomorph at one point.
Yeah, Xenomorph, when I saw the shape that was in there.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to make RoboCop? I don't know. He's coming back.
So Iron Man came out. It was just a crossover.
It might as well have been Iron Man. That's when it comes out, because it's like a nanobot Predator Iron Man suit.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. I mean, it looks a bit like Sector from Mortal Kombat, those sort of cyborg things. I just don't know what, like, it's got one shoulder cannon. It's got three or like six shoulder cannons. This is the Pokemon modernization I'm talking about. Like, where it's just like the next step. It looks like something that I
would have designed when I was a kid. When I was like obsessed with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I love Predator. I'm going to design Predator robots, and then I'm going to draw that and all the massive guns on the arms. And someone's
Predator
X. Get that in the film.
Yeah.
Well, didn't Shane Black and the other guy, Black and Decker? Didn't Black and Decker write this script for Predator years ago?
I didn't say how long, so maybe it was when they were nine. I don't know.
Yeah. They were like half.
Before Shane Black was even in the original, he wrote the script.
Yeah. It's like, if only as a young actor, 87, he was like, I'm going to write something about this. And then I'm going to write the Predator.
It's going to have big explosions, and then it's going to have
I reckon six cannons. Loads of these jokes that happened in this film, I reckon Shane Black said them on the original set of The Predator. He was like, it's more like a sports hunter. It's more like a bass fisherman. And nobody laughed. He's like, that is it?
Yeah.
I'm going to make my own film one day. And I'll show you all.
Okay, so I mean,
none of you are going to be in it. Not you, Jesse the Body Ventura. You, Schwarzenegger.
And Schwarzenegger, I'll make everyone think you might turn up right at the end, and then I'll snatch it away from them right at the last minute.
I mean, even Apollo Creed would have been fine. They could have just recloned him from his arm back on Predator World.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I don't know if they're going to do any sequels, but if they do, I hope they just ignore that entire last bit. But are you guys ready for some trivia?
Yeah, go for it.
So the first movie, number one, the first movie was actually titled Hunter originally, true or false?
God, that's an awful name for it. I don't reckon it was the movie. I bet like the. Well, all right, okay. False.
I'm gonna say true.
It was true. They changed the name about halfway through production when they realised it just doesn't sound scary at all to call it Hunter. Predator sounds way better.
Hunter, what, from Gladiators?
Yeah, his
oiled include, up in the trees.
His powers include allegedly having an affair with Ulrika Johnson.
Yeah. Oh, really? I mean, who hasn't?
So, Ben, interesting that you mentioned the writer being about Shane Black. So, Shane Black was cast in the original Predator film based on his writing abilities more than his acting abilities. True or false?
I reckon that's true, because didn't he? He was a part of writing quite a lot of 80s action films. Is that? I think. Yes, I say true.
Andy.
Yeah, I'm gonna join you on true on that one.
Yeah, it's true. So he wrote Lethal Weapon, and that obviously did really well. And they thought they could have him on set, and he was good at improvising, so he could offer like snappy, witty bits every now and again if they needed it. But I don't think is that witty, like the first Predator.
He's just there saying, yeah, that's why he had to save them all for his own script. They wouldn't take him.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you get one of the characters to say, eat your pussy, right about now?
I wonder if he came up with Dylan, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Ain't got time to bleed. Too many pencils. Well, also, that ain't got time to bleed business. And that guy having the shave, no wonder he's bleeding, because he hasn't even got a beard. Don't know why.
He's got the cheapest disposable razor.
Yeah. He hasn't got any moisturising blades. It's just a single blade job. Yeah.
So, Andy, this one's number three. Is you got me inspired with taglines. So this tagline is from one of the Predator films, one of the many Predator films. Can you name which Predator film? Lions, tigers, bears. Oh my! That's the tagline.
What the hell?
All of those, by the way, have got like exclamation marks. So it's lions, tigers, bears. Oh my!
Oh my!
Is it the first one? Like,
I'm gonna get the
predators. Predators has got to be.
I'm gonna go. It's got to be one that's set in a jungle, surely.
Yeah, let's go for the original.
The second, like Predator 2, is like he's come to town with a weekend to kill. But I don't know how I remember that. But I'm going to go with Predator number 1.
Yeah, I'll go for that as well.
It was Predator 2, weirdly enough.
What?
I don't know why. Wonder. The urban jungle, I guess. I don't know.
There are no lions.
Someone really like, what the hell? That's weird.
That tagline you just mentioned, Andy, that was one of the taglines for the film as well. So, number 4, who on the production actually has Tourette's?
Is it an actor or not?
Yeah.
It's the key grip.
The key grip.
One of the main people behind and in front of the camera, I guess. Is it a little kid?
Little kid.
Jacob Dude. Tremblay. Andy?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Jake Busey.
It's actually Shane Black. He's recently tweeted that it's a thing he's struggled with most of his life, and he's now finally able to admit that he's struggled with Tourette's most of his life.
He's just That's been saying, eat your pussy to everybody.
Yeah.
Literally everyone.
Oh, that whole scene. Could have just explained it by just saying, oh, no, he's got Tourette's.
Yeah. No, I didn't say that. I said this. Yeah. No, he's got Tourette's. Just tell her, for God's sake.
Gosh, you're pushy or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely what I said.
Okay, number 5. So midway through filming of the first Predator, they halted production because the Predator creature wasn't scary enough. I don't know if you've seen the original design played by Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Lobster.
Yeah, so they decided that they need to get a better creature design. Arnold Schwarzenegger personally tapped effects wizard Stan Winston to revamp the Predator design. What other famous design did Winston create?
Ah, shit. I literally read about this like 2 days ago.
For the Predator?
For Arnie. I'm not giving it away.
Oh, for Arnie?
Yeah.
Was it? Oh, God. It was for Arnie, was it?
Hmm.
And what a creature design.
So what were famous design? It's like a villain design, I guess I could say.
Did he do the Terminator?
Ben?
I can't even think, but Yeah, go on. Just tell me. I don't even know.
It was the Terminator. So.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. So halfway through it, Arnie actually called him. It's in his autobiography, Total Recall. It's a good book. He says he actually called Stan and sort of told him that they need someone to come down and sort it out because the creature is not working at all. And I think I see this is one of my favorite creature designs. I think of all cinema. It's amazing. So you both got, I don't know, 5 out of 5, something. So what are you going to rate the film?
Oh, it's a tough one, isn't it? I think, as I said, the first 30 minutes or so, or maybe even a tiny bit more than that. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but I was confident. Mm. But then after that particular, probably after the motel scene, I felt it just like slid downhill.
Yeah,
and it was almost like, you know, I just wasn't into it. I didn't really care about any characters at this point. The motivations of anyone just didn't make sense to me. Again, it's a ridiculous film. It's a ridiculous thing because this wouldn't happen in a film. But if everyone just went, let's go home and not get involved, because all of us are going to die. But that would have made a lot more sense than them doing exactly what they did. I probably couldn't go any more than a C minus, I reckon.
Okay.
Distinctly average.
Yeah. Andy, what are you going for?
Yeah, again, it's tough because, you know, I can't say that I was looking at my watch waiting for it to end because I was mostly just aghast with disbelief for the entire thing. And, you know, genuinely, if we get to some things that would genuinely be considered bad movies, I really like some of those. But I don't know, I think it suffers from being compared to how the original worked and it being a direction that I personally might not have liked to see it go in. Yeah. So I think I'm going to be a little harsher than Ben even, and I might go with a D+.
Yeah, I think I've written down the same as you, Andy, D+. Mainly because, I don't know, I feel like the first half an hour was pretty good. I could have been on board for that sort of strength all the way through. But then it's almost like a first draft of a script, rough cut of an edit. It's just so rough after that, and it just becomes... And then that ending, I mean, it's a finish strong. Like, this decided, like, fuck that. I'm just going to finish the most ludicrous thing. Like, I just don't understand how they could put that on cinema, on screen. It's the most... I don't know.
We'll be talking about that for years to come.
Yeah.
Like, an awful...
The Predator Killer moment.
Yeah. It would have been... Oh, what would have been better? Like, maybe the kid just go into space would have been fine.
Yeah. I like those bits where that happens in films where they end up going into space. And I don't know, maybe that could have been the end.
The kid could have gone to space and come back as Predator Iron Man.
Yeah.
See, that'd been cool. Well, I don't know.
But it would also have been bad.
I don't think there's a good way to maybe there's no good way to end this film, and they were like, this is as good as we've got. So So I'm not going to do the normal outro bit because I don't know, we're changing the music up and I don't know who did the music yet. But thanks for listening. And thanks to my co-host Ben for being your raw dude and the other co-host dude, Andy.
Thanks, dude. Thanks, guys.
Right.
It's been fun.
I don't know what we're doing next, Ben. Any ideas?
No. Got some suggestions. I'll run them past you.
Okay, cool. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.